time to gain and a time to lose, but it's always time to give thanks to God and praise Him. Job proved it. I hope we get to see some kind of like divine display, video, whatever. I want to see Satan's reaction when Job said, fit. I'd like, Lord, can we, maybe we won't want to even think about that kind of stuff, but maybe. We'll see. All of the things that we read, you ever thought, gee, I wish I was there. I want to see the look on their face, how it all went down. When the disciples saw Jesus calm the wind and the waves, when Peter walked on the water, can't you imagine like the others, like, look at Peter go, look at this. And, you know, maybe John was saying, I wonder if I should be next. And then just about that time, Peter goes down. So maybe I better not. Okay. This is actually a preview for guys that are going up to the men's retreat. This is just an appetizer for those that aren't. Well, a little bit of window of what you're missing, gals. We're going to actually throw a little bonus thing in here that I probably won't bring up at the men's retreat. But a brief summary of our multi-level relationship with Abba Father. And the topic is servants, sons, and heirs. And we are all three. And there's certain things to learn with each one of those aspects of our relationship with the Lord. And I'm going to give you two key words for each of these relationships. For servants, the two key words are humility and faithfulness. We're going to see that in the scripture. For sons, the two words are honor, and specifically family honor, but honor and ownership. And then as heirs, two words that usually don't go together, but in this case they do. Gift and reward. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 17, in the 10th verse. Luke 17. Sometimes Wednesday nights, I'm like, oh, can we do it in the 25 or 30 minutes? But I think we can do it. I'll have to cut it short. Luke 17 and verse 10. We're actually, this is the conclusion of something Jesus was teaching his disciples about serving. And he actually begins up in verse 5, when the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And then he went on teaching in verse 6, 7, and 8. But the conclusion is an attitude towards serving, which relates to verses 8 and 9, 7, 8, and 9, as far as a servant plowing, tending sheep, whatever. And what is his relationship with his master? Does he come in with an expectation of entitlement? Like, hey, I really worked hard in the field. Like, okay, master, now it's time for you to serve me. No, he teaches very plainly, no. The servant comes in and then continues to serve and the master. And I guess verse 9 is the conclusion of that portion. He says, does he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him, Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. People fall into this entitlement mentality when they do the right thing and they do this, do that, and they either want appreciation or they want a tip or they want, you know, obviously if it's done for hire, then that's an agreement. And there's a salary or a paycheck. But when it's not in that vein, people are looking for, like, my reward. Where is my appreciation? But here he brings out the servant doesn't have that mindset. He says, does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, and here's his direct message to his disciples and to us. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So we find here basically humility. And not that we got to have to go around. Every once in a while, you'll come across people that they really play this humility thing up big time. And they won't take any encouragement or, you know, attaboy or anything like that. And they just like, no, no. But Jesus actually taught this here to make sure we don't get into this entitlement mentality. Like, you know, you owe me this. I've been a good boy or a good girl. And I'm due a reward. But instead have the attitude, no, I just did what it was my duty to do. And that is an aspect of servanthood. I like to think that we go into duty mode only when necessary. Because really, for us to serve for the motive of love, that is what really should fuel our motivation and our desire to do the will of God because we love him. But there are certain things that, you know, there are times that we are called on to do things that we really don't want to do. Maybe it's the last thing we really want to do, but we know it's got to be done, and it falls to us, and it's our duty. And when I think on this subject, I always remember Pastor Stevens preaching and quoting, I think, the late Dr. Bob Jones Sr., I think it was him. Anyways, some old preacher used to scream in the pulpit, "Do right! Do right till the stars fall! Do right!" And I don't know. I guess the first time I heard it, I thought, probably blew my hair back. But I actually learned to like it. And, you know, and it resounds in my soul. And especially if I have to kick it into duty mode to do something, you know, I like that. I fellowship with the truth of it and the power of it. To do right, just going to do right till I see Jesus face to face. But there's humility here in this lesson. And beware, I've seen people fall into entitlement mentality, and even in the church, and it's not pretty. No, we do what we do for love's sake, for duty's sake, but to do it in humility. If we're going to reflect the nature of our Lord, it's got to be in humility. Luke 16, let's turn back the page to Luke chapter 16, verses 9 through 13. We find faithfulness here in the relationship of a servant. He says in verse, for the context, we'll take verse 9. I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when either it fails or you fail, depending on your translation, they may receive you into an everlasting home. I've preached on this usually in the stewardship when it comes to money. Basically, Jesus is saying, the stuff we have in our wallets, he calls it unrighteous mammon. He said, make friends with it. Well, how do you make friends with money? Not in a worldly sense, not like buying favors or affection, but to use it in the Lord's work for the winning of souls, making of disciples, building of kingdom relationships. Use this earthly stuff that comes and goes quicker than we'd like it to, comes hard sometimes, but to use it in an eternal aspect that it will have an eternal return to make friends. Because when this is all said and done and all the material stuff here is long gone, those relationships and those heavenly treasures, they last forever and ever. So that's what Jesus is teaching. And then he continues on with the servant mentality. And he says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Interesting contrast here. He says, if you're not going to be faithful with the material stuff that God entrusts us with, which, you know, we think it's ours, but really, we can't hang on to it, and it doesn't last anyways. You know, he said, he wants to give us true riches. And we thank God when we get the, you know, the bonus or the whatever, or the blessing in the material realm. But those aren't the true riches. Those are the temporal things that, you know, we need to a certain degree here. We enjoy. But the true riches, we're going to enjoy much more. So to be faithful in these earthly things, the promise here is we're going to be trusted with much more. If we'll be faithful in our stewardship and our serving, then God will trust us with more. He said, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? So how does that apply here? That means basically everything we have, our name might be on it, we might have it. It's not really ours because we belong to God. It's all God's. He's the one that supplied it. He knows what we're going to do with it, but we're going to be, I guess, life is a test, and we're going to be rewarded on what we do with it. Are we good stewards or not of our time, of our talents, of our tithe, of all of these earthly things? But then when we get to heaven, he gives us what we get to keep, because we don't keep this stuff. We're leaving it all behind to someone, if there's anything left. So these things, first of all, they're not ours. We can't take them with us. They don't last. But God wants to give us something that is ours forever. And it lasts forever. And we own it, if you will. It's still given to us by God. But there are riches for the rest of eternity. White stone with a new name written in it. Hidden manna. There's some things mentioned in the book of Revelation as far as rewards go. But here he calls them, who will give you what is your own. Then he goes in, concludes it in verse 13, saying no servant can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other. Basically, the warning to not fall in love with money and material things. They're fleeting. They don't last forever. They can't bring true, deep spiritual satisfaction anyways. So why be distracted by them? He said, you can't serve two masters. And the danger is, if you start to fall in love with the temporal stuff, you might love that more. Not that you would actually say, I despise Jesus, but if we love the earthly things more than we love Jesus, basically that's the result of it. But if we really focus on loving God, receiving his love, how do we love God? That's one of my daily prayers. I want to love him more. How do we love him more? By receiving his love. The more we receive, the more we're going to love him. So we got to be on the good receivers. We'll end the stewardship part. I'm getting behind the clock here. But 1 Corinthians, you can write it down if you're taking note. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, we're stewards of the mysteries of God, and it's required in stewards to be found faithful. So God he's entrusted us with the things that we need, but he's also entrusted us with the things of his kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom. And for us to receive from God wisdom and understanding and then share it with our brothers and sisters, with the lost, drawing them to Christ, to be faithful stewards. All right, the second phase of the relationship. So humility and faithfulness have to do with servanthood. But to be sons, or in this case daughters, for all you ladies, just want to throw these bonuses in. In Joshua 15, verses 16 through 9, we find the story of Caleb's daughter, Aksa. And Caleb promised that the one that won this particular battle and took the particular city, I think it was Kirjath Arba, could marry his daughter. I guess she must have been a great prize, because otherwise guys said, I don't want to marry his daughter, so I'm not going to lead on this. But Aksa must have been some special gal. And it motivated one man to say, I'm taking that city. I want Aksa. And so when he did, then Aksa goes to her father, goes to Caleb, and she says, you've given me these lands, but I need some springs. I need water, you know, if we're really going to make the most of these lands, water our flocks. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So, gals, God, he's got your coverage. Be bold and ask. You know, women in prayer, receive from God. But then there's the five daughters of Zelophehad, and that's found in Numbers 27, verses 6 through 7. And Zelophehad died. He had no sons. And so his daughters came to Moses and say, said to Moses, hey, you know, we're all girls here. There's no sons to receive an inheritance. Why should what our father worked hard for go to some other male in the family? We're his daughters. And God spoke up here, ladies. God spoke up and said, Moses, hey, they're right. Give them an inheritance. And it became a rule in Israel. So the five daughters of Zelophehad, they got their inheritance from their father. So don't think, ladies, that, you know, God is not thinking about you. He is. He cares. But the ownership and the honor with being sons and daughters, first we find in Luke 2 and verse 49, Jesus at age 12, his parents lost track of him, get in the caravan, they're headed back up north to Nazareth, and they get a day's journey out, they find he's not there, they go day's journey back, and then they spend a whole day looking around, and they finally find him in the temple. And what does Jesus say? Why didn't you look right here first? He said, didn't you realize I must be about my father's business? Hey, he was, as 12 years old, he was like, free time, man. Nobody's here to tell me what I got to do next, so I'm going to the temple. And he was there asking questions and amazing the doctors of the law with his insight. Of course, he wrote it, so why wouldn't he know it? But he knew it much better than any of them, and he's basically holding court in the temple as a 12-year-old. What does he say? I'm about my father's business. And the truth of the matter is we all have a share in our father's business, the things of God. This is our father's business. Then after he started his earthly ministry, at his baptism, the Father spoke from heaven in Matthew 3:17, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So the Father was honoring the Son with a voice from heaven for John the Baptist. Now, he knew already because he saw the Holy Spirit come in the form of a dove. But for all the rest, they got to hear the Father speak. And there's this family honor. Now, parents, we need to teach our children the principles of honor. To honor God, to honor his word, to honor their parents. If we don't teach our children to honor our parents, you see disrespect everywhere in youngsters because they're not taught the doctrine of honor. Honor authorities, honor the elderly, honor all men, and then honor their own bodies. To really take, honor, don't be, cutting and abusing your body, but honor your body. The principles of honor. Family honor. And the Father spoke actually three times. We have a record of the Father speaking from heaven. The second time was on the Mount of Transfiguration when he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then he added something. He said, hear him. And if we're going to honor, really, to honor God is to really listen. Honor, obey follows. If we're really going to honor, we've got to listen so we know what it is. We've got to obey. And the truth of the matter is when we honor people, when we listen to people, that shows them we honor them, we value them because it's a rare thing. Most people are not good listeners. Things need to be repeated over and over and over again. They still don't. But when we really, if we're relating to somebody and we really listen, don't interrupt, don't, necessarily think we know where they're going with it, but just listen. It shows them honor. And then when Jesus, both in the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry, cleansed the temple, what was his motivation there? It was the family honor. He went into the temple and he saw them selling the sacrificial animals at a high price. And he just first of all, he made the whip of cords, thought about it. And says, I'm in a clean house here. And then he goes in and family honor motivated him. He was zealous for his father's house, which was the temple. And he cleaned house. And he did it again during Passion Week after he rode in to Jerusalem on the donkey's colt. He cleaned house a second time. And this time he said, you've made my father's house den of thieves. He said, this is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. So the sense of honor and the sense of ownership are both involved there with Jesus and the Father in the temple and his Father's business. Thirdly, heirs. The two things about heirs are gift and reward. Now, you know, some families actually disinherit children because of their behavior. They dishonor the family or whatever. They behave so, you know, out of character for the family. They just write them right out of the will. But when it comes to you and I, we are heirs together with Jesus Christ. And we find that in Romans 8:17. So this is looking future. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And this is a wonderful thing. You know, for us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we go through our day, day in, day out, hopefully, you know, right from the, I like to start off right before I even get out of bed. I just take a few moments to pray and commune with God before I get out of bed and draw near. Abba, Father, your will today. No to the old sin nature before I even get out of bed, and as often as necessary after that. And yes, to the Holy Spirit, to the new nature. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, and that is, and because we are children, we're heirs, then heirs, heirs of God. Heirs of God. You know what? We can't fathom what it means to be an heir of God. He owns the universe. He's not going to die. He's just going to share it with us for on ever and ever and ever. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Remember that next time we're called on to suffer. Suffering is temporary. The kingdom is eternal. The reward is coming. Now, when I say the principles of gift and reward, first of all, when we inherit something, it's something that somebody else earned. Somebody else amassed the wealth. And this is the kingdom of our Father and our Savior. And the whole universe is included, this one and then the next one. It's all part of it. We didn't make it, but we're going to inherit it. There's a gift, but there's also a reward. The reason why we're going to be rewarded forever was for faithful service. So when we get to heaven, and I believe even in the millennial reign, we're going to reign with him. It's very reasonable to believe that what we are reigning over and what level of the righteous government of Christ, where we serve in that government, is probably going to be based on our stewardship on earth, our service, our faithfulness. And, you know, every child of God will be included, but there's, as far as rank, there's rank with the holy angels right now. So we see order in the kingdom. And then in the eternal state, in the New Jerusalem, we know that the apostles have honors we already know about. They're going to have 12 thrones in the millennial realm, reign over Israel. Then in the eternal realm, they're going to have their names inscribed on the foundations of the city. Just those 12 men, nobody else. No record of anybody else, but those 12 men, regular guys. These guys were fishermen, tax collectors. But their names are written in the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem because they were called of God and they followed. I'll just throw out some verses there If you're taking notes, you can write them down. Some things that we are heirs of in Galatians 3:29, we're heirs of the promise, the Abrahamic promise. That promise is that in blessing, he will bless us. In Hebrews 6:17, that blessing is confirmed with an oath. So we're heirs to the Abrahamic blessing. Titus 3:7, we're heirs of the hope of eternal life. And that's a sure hope. Eternal life, that's ours. It's coming. You know, maybe you have some earthly inheritance. Maybe you know about it. Maybe not. Maybe you're going to get surprised. You're going to get a letter from some lawyer in the mail saying, so-and-so, long-lost uncle, aunt, whatever. Maybe somebody you don't even know. It's just left you whatever they've left you. Well, we have an inheritance far beyond that, and we know it's coming. James 2 and verse 5, we're heirs of his kingdom. You know, we're going to rule with him. We reign right now in life by grace. Right now, we should be reigning. It is the will of God that we, as we live this life, we reign. We rule by the grace of God, by the power of the Spirit, right here, right now. But we'll close with Luke 12 and verse 32, where Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your heavenly Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Our Abba Father. He's got a kingdom for us. He's planned it for us. The angels, they've been a part of it right along, the holy angels. We've only heard of it, read of it. We haven't seen it yet, but it's ours, and it's eternal, and we are heirs. It's our destiny. Let's pray. Father, help us to enjoy every level of our relationship with you. Lord, in our daily life, Lord, serving with humility. Lord, being faithful in our service. But Lord, as we do it, realize we're not servants only, but we're also sons and friends. We didn't even mention the friends part. But Lord, we're all of that. Father, fill us with that sense of honor and ownership in the family business, that these things are ours. We want to honor you. Lord, and help us to look forward if ever we need a little extra motivation, Lord, something to brighten up the moment. Lord, help us to think about the future when we see you face to face. The plans that you have for us that are eternal. You have plans right here, right now for your glory and for our blessing, but it gets much better when this is over. Help us to remember that. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.